I'm going to ask you to do what you did last week, and that is turn in your Bible to the book of James, chapter number 5. James, chapter 5. Last week we talked about prayer, and what we talked about was answering this, why pray? Why pray? That's what we talked about last week. Why pray? Is it our intention in prayer to try and change God, change the will of God, change the mind of God? Or instead, are we praying that God would give us peace about what is His will, His mind, His purpose? And so our purpose in prayer is important. You know, why we pray, our intention, and what we seek to accomplish in prayer is certainly important. But one of the, you know, we listed several reasons. We need to pray because, you know, it's good for us. It's medicinal. It's healthy for you as a Christian to pray. It shows your dependence on God, your reliance on God, your need for God. You need to pray because other people need your prayers. The church needs your prayers. Your family needs your prayers. Unsaved people need your prayer, so you need to pray for these reasons. And we need to pray that God would reveal His will to us. So what I want to talk about tonight is use the term praying in faith. Praying in faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. And what does that actually mean? What does it mean to say that we are praying in faith? Okay? And to do so, I'm going to begin by reading what we read last week, but I'm going to lift a part up that we didn't really get into a lot last week. But James 5, and it is talking about if someone is sick, calling for the elders of the church, let them pray over them. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this is really what I want to talk about. Verse 17 and 18 tonight. Elias, and that's just Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, or 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what does it mean to pray in faith? That term is thrown around a great deal. This idea of, well, I'm praying in faith, and I'm believing God, and I'm trusting that God is going to do this. And sometimes that sounds very spiritual, but it may not really be all that spiritual at all. And I want to talk about that more as we go along. Now, I'm going to begin by making this statement, and I'm going to repeat it because I think it is immensely important. We can only have biblical faith in that which the Bible reveals. You can only have biblical faith, that is, a well-grounded, absolute faith. You can only have biblical faith in that in which the Bible reveals. Now, I want to clear out a few things. When I talk about faith in this regard, you have faith that pew you're sitting in is going to hold your weight. You have faith that chair is going to hold. You have faith that water you're drinking doesn't have cyanide in it, or your Diet Pepsi doesn't have poison in it. We have a certain amount of faith in those things, but I'm talking about biblical faith. I'm talking about a faith that you're certain of or sure of, an assurance. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot have an assurance, an absolute assurance, in things that the Bible doesn't address. So let's ask a couple questions. Let me help explain what I mean. I can pray that when I open my mailbox tomorrow, there's going to be $1 million in it, right? I can pray to that end. But can I pray in faith that that is actually going to happen? The answer to that is no. I can't pray in faith because nowhere does the Bible say that on August the 6th, I think it's tomorrow, Brother Lewis is going to open up his mailbox at 2372 Elko Road and there'll be $1 million sitting in the mail. God's Word doesn't say that. Now, I can ask God, and I think we should ask great big things of God. I think we should. But I can't pray in faith that God is going to do this when God in His Word has not said this is what He's going to do. But I can pray in faith that God will meet all of my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible says that. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Now that I can pray in faith. Just as another example, I mentioned Sister Baynard is in the hospital with pneumonia. We can and we should ask God to heal her and bring her home. But we can't pray in faith because we don't know that is God's will for her life. And there are times in life when we are asking God to do something and in truth we really want God to do it. God doesn't always say yes to our petitions. And when God says no, sometimes it hurts. And we must not get the idea, well, I guess I didn't have enough faith. That's not what it is. Or I wasn't trusting God enough. That's not what it is. We should believe, as the Scripture says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for God. But if the Bible does not specifically say, here's what God's will is, then you can't pray in faith to that. You can ask God, you can plead with God, but you can't say of a certainty, this is what God is going to do. It is important. We can say, I've prayed about this. I don't see God doing what I want Him to do. Okay? And that's, you know, even as we've dealt with tragedy among our own church family, you know, it hurts, you know, when family struggles and trials, and we're praying and pleading with God about these matters. But we cannot say, well, something must be defunct in my faith because it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. Not when God has not said, this is exactly what I'm going to do. But you can pray in faith, Christian. You can pray in faith that God is going to work all things together for the good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You can pray that in faith because you know that's what God will do because that's what He has said in His Word. I would love, and I'm going to get into this a little more in just a minute. I would love to have the celestial clout where I could pray it and it would appear. As I said earlier this week, if I had a magic wand, I could get a lot of things accomplished. But God is not some genie in the sky. He's not the proverbial genie in a lamp that's here to grant all of our wishes. That's not who God is, and that's not what prayer should be about. Our prayer must be yielded to who God is. There's some things the Bible says. The Bible says it is God's will that we grow, that we mature, that our faith becomes stronger, and we should pray in faith. God, according to your will, your word, it is your will that I grow. So grow me in faith. Mature my faith. Now, how God does that may hurt. But nonetheless, We can pray in faith in those things that the Word reveals. And here's the illustration that James uses. And this is why I wanted you back in this text. Is in this illustration that James uses about praying in faith. In fact, he uses that terminology at the beginning of verse 15 in the prayer of faith, or praying in faith. He cites an example, an Old Testament example of a man named Elijah. And he says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, which is just big long language for saying Elijah was just a person like you or I. He was just a man, just a mortal. Yes, God mightily used him. Yes, supernatural things were done, but Elijah was just a man. He faced the same weaknesses as you and I. He had his times of doubt and fear. Elijah had his Mount Carmel experiences where he mocked and ridiculed the prophets of Baal. And then he had his running and hiding from Jezebel moments. Crawling up under a tree, asking God to just take his life. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But what the text says here is that Elijah prayed, and it did not rain. Elijah prayed that God would shut up the heavens and that it would not rain, and it did not. Now, you're going to have to make up your mind whether or not you believe the Bible in this or not. If you want to hold to the integrity of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, that at least in that area of Israel, if not globally, I don't know, we don't want to get into all that, but at least there, it did not rain for 3.5 years. Now, we've had some dry spells, right? Not to my knowledge, there ever been one like that. You wouldn't want to be around, be hard to do any farming like that. Cows get pretty lean, wouldn't it? 3.5 years of dry, of a famine of rain. But is that just because Elijah was such a mighty man of God? No, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah struggled just like you and I did. But, and this is what I want you to get, Elijah was praying in faith. Because God had said in His Word, if my people turn from me and they start worshiping idols, I will shut up the heavens so that it won't rain. So what Elijah was doing was he was praying that God would simply do what he said he would do. Elijah was praying in faith. And I want you to turn all the way back to Deuteronomy so that you can see this. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 11. So James is just simply using this as an illustration of what it means to pray in faith based on Scripture, based on God's revealed will in his Word. And in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, God thunders and says, take heed to yourselves. And really, through the pen of Moses, but anyway. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. That then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. So now again, Deuteronomy is given prior to the children of Israel ever entering into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, and it's given at the end of the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, this newer, younger generation who weren't there or were very young when God thundered at Mount Sinai. Now Moses is giving them a summation of the law. And one of the things he says is, if you turn away from the true and living God and you start worshiping idols, God's going to shut up the heavens that it won't rain. It'll be an act of divine judgment on His people for their idolatry. And what Elijah did when he prayed is that he said, God, You said You would shut up the heavens if Your people gave themselves over to spiritual idolatry. And All you have to do is look at the life and times of Elijah the Tishbite, and that's exactly what Israel had done, especially under Ahab and Jezebel. They had given themselves over to idolatry, so Elijah is simply praying, God, here's what you said you do. I'm asking you to do this. Elijah was praying in faith. He was asking God to do what he said he would do. And now, we need to just maybe process that a little bit. There are big promises given to all believers. And then there are some ethnic promises that apply only to Israel, that are ethnically applicable only to Israel. In other words, you can't be like Elijah and say, God, I want you to shut up the heavens. I'm going to pray in faith that you will shut up the heavens until America repents. Because God didn't make that promise to America. He made that promise to Israel. Okay? And so you and I can't pray in faith like Elijah did in that. We can only pray in faith in those areas in which the Bible reveals. But back in James, it says that he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, but then he prayed again and it rained. What made the difference? The difference is God's people turned from their wickedness for a little while, a short season of repentance. And in doing so, God, Elijah said, now, you said you would do this if they turned from you. You said you would do this if they turned back to you. And so when they turned away, Elijah prayed for famine. And whenever they repented, Elijah prayed for rain. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, if you want to turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. You know, there's just a handful of you that showed up here tonight. And I don't want to make you mad because you showed up here tonight, okay? But I think you'd be benefited. And in fact, if I could shout this from the rooftops of every Christian organization in the United States, I don't know that anybody would listen, but if they'd listen, it'd be beneficial. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you're going to be familiar with this. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now here's what I was saying. I'm not trying to make you mad, but it would behoove you us all to learn this. God's not speaking to America. This is an ethnically applicable promise to Israel. I'm not trying to pick a fight. And I will say that if we as a nation would turn from our sins, fall on our face, God would bless. I believe God would bless. Okay? But we can't take 2 Chronicles 7:14 out of its context and make it applicable to a nation that didn't even exist 3,000 years ago. But it did. This is what Elijah did. Elijah prayed, God, shut up the heavens like you said you would. Your people have turned away from you. And then there was some national repentance. And Elijah said, according to 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves, turn from them, then you'll open up the windows of heaven and bring rain. And that's what Elijah did. He prayed in faith that God would stop the rain. He prayed in faith that God would send the rain. This is what Elijah did. He prayed in faith in these matters. And so we can't really pray in faith, even 2 Chronicles 7:14 over America. I hope that God would grant If God gave national repentance, that God would bless, but who knows? You know, and this is just a little of a side note. I'm not much on chasing rabbits, but this is just a little side note. There are Christian pastors right now in our nation who are facing persecution for just having church. John MacArthur, one of the leading pastors, one of the most respected men, is under threat of arrest for having church in California. He's under threat of being arrested just for having church in California. And so, listen, you know, I'm not trying to beat you over the head, but we can't reach out and just grasp the thing. We can't pray in faith unless it is a direct revelation or word from God applied to us. So, if we're going to pray in faith, like Elijah did, like James uses Elijah as an example, then we must pray, Lord, this is what you've said you'll do. Do it. And apart from that, we can pray, but we can't pray in faith. I hope you're able to make a distinction in that. Now, part two to that, and I'm going to chop it off. But what about those verses that say, if we ask, God will give. If we just ask, God will give. And what I made a reference to a little while ago was the very popular suggestion that when it comes to praying, all you got to do is name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. And the truth is, if you could convince people of that, you could lead a very lavish lifestyle. If you could convince people that God wants you to have your best life now, that it is always God's plan for you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, if you can convince people that if you have enough faith and you just trust God enough, you're going to be rich, you're going to be successful, you're never going to be sick. You can, if you can sleep at nights, I couldn't, but if you can convince people of that, you can lead a very lavish lifestyle. And this is what is very popular in our world today, is what is termed to be the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel. I think y'all watched that movie on the American Gospel. We're going to watch it here as a church family too, but the idea that, and here's where it comes from. Well, you just got to pray in faith. If you really trusted God, God would give this to you. If you don't have that, it's because you don't have enough faith. You're not really praying in faith like you should. And it comes from just a complete misunderstanding and misapplication of Scripture. Complete misunderstanding and misapplication. It is called name it and claim it. Or as I like to say, blab it and grab it. Blab it and grab it. And there are some very popular people who have made a very luxurious life for themselves. Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn. Now I'm told that Benny Hinn has somewhat recanted and repented of his preaching of the prosperity gospel. We'll see. Let's give that some time. But I'm told that Benny Hinn's nephew, Costi Hinn, who's in that movie, we'll be introduced to him. Costi Hinn was in it all the way up to his eyeballs until God brought him out of it. So God is able. Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, anyway. And Paula White. I could make y'all real mad tonight. Talk about the president's spiritual advisor is a prosperity preacher. Paula White, who is an abject heretic, but we don't want to get in politics, do we, tonight? All right. But they say if you only have enough faith, if you only have enough faith, if you really trust in God, but they don't understand Scripture. You can't pray in faith where God is silent. God doesn't measure the strength of our prayers by our faith, God measures the strength of our prayers by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His work of intercession for us. God doesn't reward us based on an estimate of our faith. He does not deny us based on a poor estimate of our faith. But God gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness and according to His Word and His will for us. In these areas where the Bible is silent, we must pray according to Your will. According to Your will. Jesus gave us this example as He bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane when He said, "Father, I will this, this, nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done, but Thine be done." Unfortunately, too often we want to pray, and if we're being honest, we want to pray, not Your will, but Mine be done. Sometimes that's how we are. Now, if you want to be a super saint, no, I would never. I only want what God wants. Now, sometimes we want what we want. And that's just true. And it's pain talking, usually. It's hurt that is talking, usually. But that's who we are, and God knows that. But what we should pray is we should pray in these areas where the Bible doesn't specifically say, here's what I will do, here's what I won't do. We should pray, Father, do what is according to Your will. I've got a list of things, and we're only going to do this one tonight, and then we're going to quit. But I want you to look at 1 John chapter 5, and if you'll turn over there and give me a few minutes, and then we'll jet out of here. But 1 John chapter number 5. I want to warn you about how Scripture is misused by these charlatans on television, by these prosperity gospel teachers, by these people who just say, if you have enough faith, sow a seed of faith. Right in that terminology? Sow a seed of faith. Do this. And they do so by pulling text out of context, by only using parts of verses, by ignoring the overall teaching of Scripture. And part of that is this. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 15 where it says, "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." Now verse 15 is pretty clear. If we know that God hears us, and if you are a born-again believer, God hears your prayers. Notice what it says. Whatsoever we ask, we know, we can be sure that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Isn't that good? I mean, I don't preach, buddy. I can get on TBN and get me a private jet if I preach that. But there's a problem. The problem is I skipped verse 14. Because verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." You see how imperative it is that we look at text within their context, that we pay attention to what we're reading and not be misled? Is it verse 15 true? Yes, but it's true in light of the preceding words that say, according to His will. We must pray in those areas where the Bible doesn't say specifically. When you're asking God for something, and the Bible doesn't specifically address that, you've got to say, "Lord, if it be Your will." And folks, that means submitting our will to His, which is exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is submitting our will, our desires to God. Listen, even when it hurts. Did it not cost Christ dearly to obey the Father's will and go to the cross the next day? Was that not painful for Him? Did that not cause serious anguish? When we pray according to God's will, it is saying, "Lord, I am trusting that You know what's best. It may not be what I want, But faith compels me to trust you. That you're God, I'm not, and you know what's best. That's hard sometimes. It's hard. It's really hard. This saying, according to your will, is saying, what honors God? I want to do what honors God. Here's what I want. Yet I want to bring my will under subjection to yours and pray with an understanding that I want your name to be honored. I want the name of Christ to be magnified. When we pray according to your will, you're not saying, you're saying, Lord, if this honors Jesus, if this brings glory to Christ, if this is actually for my good, then do this. Because your will is better than mine. His ways are not like ours. His thoughts are not like ours. We must trust Him. That's what faith is all about. You're talking about praying in faith. Praying in faith is trusting God, even when God doesn't do what you want. That's a really good way of looking at it. That doesn't mean that life is never going to be painful. When we say, according to your will, sometimes it's going to be very painful. But we say, whatever God, whatever you do or whatever you don't do, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you. And I'm going to quit right there. We'll pick back up, Lord willing, next week, because there's a few more ways that we ought to pray. We ought to pray in faith, which is pray in accordance to God's revealed will. And we ought to pray according to God's will. But what we'll talk about some next week is a biblical phrase, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There are many people who think that's some kind of magical incantation. That if I just use that phrase, I get whatever I want. But that's not how it is. So anyway, may God help us to yield our will to His. And in those areas where the Bible doesn't specifically say, here's what God wills, this is not what God wills, that we can humbly say, not our will, but yours be done. And sometimes that's a process. Sometimes it may not always just happen overnight. But that's the example Christ gave us, and that's the example we want to model. Father, as we leave here tonight, we want to thank you for the privilege of being here. Hope that we have honored you, your word, and your son. And we pray that the Spirit would take those things that have been taught, apply them to our hearts and our lives. Help us to be faithful with those things you have taught us, those things that you have told us through your word. May we go and be teachers of others and to stand for the truth lovingly but boldly declaring, Lord, only those things that you have said. Tonight we lift up those special needs, requests, the burdens that are on our hearts, the folks that are here. Lord, you know what's going on in our lives, and even as we gather here tonight, we are trying to pray, not our will, but yours be done. So help us to trust you, even when the dark clouds roll in and things or not as we would have them. Help us to put our faith in you and trust your love, your goodness, and your divine sovereign purposes in our lives. Bless this church in the days that are ahead. Draw us closer to you and closer to one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.